Jesus, we thank you for your power. Thank you that you know how to handle it. That in your power, you don't overpower, you don't dictate, but you empower. And you build us up. You breathe life into us. God, for those of us who are discouraged this morning, may we find encouragement in you. For those of us who are mourning, may we find comfort. For those of us who are weak, may we find strength in you. Jesus, you are powerful. So we thank you. We thank you for that. And God, we give this time to you. May we fall more in love with you today. In your name. We all said? Amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated, or you can stay standing. It's up to you. That's what I thought. Except for the back row. People standing in the back. So a couple weeks ago, I was standing in line at a grocery store and some people were bickering. And this person in front of me turns around and goes, drama. I'm like, what? I started thinking about that. You know, like you have that word. It's like when you buy like a new pair of shoes, you start seeing those shoes everywhere. That word drama started sticking out to me. I started becoming more aware that, man, people use that word a lot. Sean, don't go over there. Don't hang out with those people. Why? So much drama. Just too much drama. And I'm like, what? Drama is just another word for conflict. And when all of us, we encounter that kind of drama in relationships, right? It just exists. There's just this drama that exists. It kind of just shows up out of nowhere. You can just be like sending a text message. Like for myself, I don't have the best texting etiquette. I'm not really good at texting, apparently. And recently, a friend of mine was texting me, and I kept responding with a lowercase K. Hey, Sean, can you do this K? Can you do that K, K, K? It just kept going. I'm just like, K, 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 K. And then, like, the next day, he meets up with me. He's like, Sean, why are you so short with me? I'm like, dude, we haven't even talked. What are you talking about? What happened? Drama shows up, right? He's like, well, all you do when you text back is you just respond with a lowercase K. Felt like saying, K. Want to be nice. I'm like, okay, I get it. But it just shows up out of nowhere, right? Everything is fine. And then all of a sudden, insert drama. And what does it do? It separates. And depending on how we handle that drama, it can separate to the point to where we're no longer talking, texting, or we're actually become complete strangers because of it. When drama shows up, it's inevitable. It happens. We have two responses. We can either let that drama continue to separate and push out, or we could do something else, and that's called reconcile, which is coming back together. Being friends, drama enters, we become enemies, and then reconciliation occurs when we bring it back together, where someone in the relationship says, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. Or whatever it may be. And if you've been married long enough, you know exactly what reconciliation is all about. Because it happens a lot, right? Now, Paul's going to talk about that very thing, about reconciliation, and these two verses that we're going to read here in a second. And these two verses, he's going to talk about two different kinds of relationships, our relationship between us and God and our relationship between us and each other. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read two verses, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. We're kind of piggybacking off of last week where I talked about how we were made new in Christ. Here's what it says here in verse 18. It says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us what? Back to himself through Jesus. In other words, we were once separated from God. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are now reconciled back into relationship with him. What once was some drama, so to speak, some separation, God has now brought us back. And then he says this, and God, in verse 18, has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. I just want to stop here for a second because that verse really stuck out to me when I was reading it. This has nothing to do with my message necessarily, but look at that again. God no longer counts people's sin against them. And yet, maybe you're like me and find yourself counting your sins against yourself, right? God doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't count our sins against us. That's liberating. That's freeing. Man, that's good, right? I'm looking at that, I'm like, that's really good. Moving on. Okay. He says this, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So here we have two dynamics. You have one dynamic, and that within the relationship between us and God, and that is because of what Jesus has done, he has reconciled us. He has brought us back together. And then, in light of that, we are to go out and to share that message of reconciliation with other people. Okay? So we're going to talk about that dynamic. But first, we got to understand something about reconciliation, and that there's always a starting point. When our relationships with one another, there's always a starting point of who begins the reconciliation process. Who's the person who's going to speak up? And in this instance, God is always the one who initiates the reconciliation. He has reached out to us. That's why it says that it's a gift. He has given us the opportunity to be reconciled to him. Not because of anything that we've done, not because we look good, or not because we dress good, or not because we served X, Y amount of people, not because we gave a bunch of stuff. No, none of those things. It is not contingent upon us. God has come out and he has extended this gift to us. He initiated the process. And for people that Paul's writing to in this letter, the people in Corinth, those people, they're a polytheistic culture. And they have a bunch of different gods that they believe in. And so Paul's writing this letter in light of these people that these Christian Corinthians are encountering. There's a bunch of people there who are believing a bunch of different gods. And these different gods that they have created are angry. Primarily, their default is they're angry at humans. And so they believe in these gods that exist in their mind. And it's like they're walking on eggshells, making sure that they don't disrupt the gods, because they may harm them with sickness or whatever it may be. And then Paul comes in and begins to share this message that no, those gods, for one, you made them up. But the one true God who created you, he is not a God who is angry. He is not a God who is against you. He's a God who is for you. So much so that he initiated the reconciliation process. So much so that he stepped out and he said, hey, I want you to be in relationship with me. He initiated it. He stepped out. He's a saving God, a God who rescues, a God who sees his people who are lost and longs to bring them back. And we see it all throughout Scripture over and over and over again. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16, one of my favorite verses on this says this. This is who God is to us. He says, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the scattered. I will bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. Isn't that awesome? Look at that. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the scattered. I'll bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. If not just in one verse, that's incredible. Are we awake here? Because look at that. That's pretty awesome. Come on. What the heck? Where are we at, people? This is so cool. I look at it and I go, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for that's who you are. God is a saving God. Jesus didn't come just to teach. Yeah, he taught. He came to rescue. He came to save you and me. He came to bring us back together in relationship with him. That's good news. There is life and purpose and meaning and our identity and all of that rests in a relationship with him. And Paul is saying, hey, in light of all of those things, I want you to take that message and I want you to share it with others. You take that message of reconciliation and I want you to step out and begin to share it with others. Now, before we get into what that looks like, I want to make sure that we remember that God is the one who initiates the process of reconciliation. He's the one who starts it. Because when we start getting in the thinking process of sharing the message of reconciliation, for many of us, we start weighing on the idea that we are the ones that are in charge of saving our family. We are the ones in charge of saving our friends, our community. Just a reminder, God is the one who initiates. We are not people's savior. Jesus is. He saves. Here's the beautiful part of that. Is that he says, hey, I want to invite you into a relationship with me. And I want to bring you along in my mission of reconciling people back to myself. I'm going to empower you and I'm going to use you so that you can be a part of the process. And for many of us, we are already experiencing that. And it is beautiful. As we get to sit back and watch and see God's reconciliation taking place in our family, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our community at large. Okay? Just a side note. God is the one who does it. So in light of that, what does it look like for us to share the message of reconciliation? Now, there are, there's a bunch of different ways you can do it. Some people, this is not my go-to. Some people make signs and post them up. I don't really feel like you can do that. You can put a bumper sticker in your car. You can do that stuff. That's fine. The problem is with that is that it's pretty impersonal. And when I think of God, he's pretty relational. He wants to be in relationship with me. And so when it comes to sharing the message of reconciliation, my default is to go personal. I want to get to know people. I want to get to know who they are. I want to be their friend. I want to be in relationship with them. I don't want to just stand on the distance and hold something up, even though if it's true. I don't see, some people do that, that's fine, but for me, that's not my default. So what I'm going to express to you is what I think for many of us we can tangibly do when it comes to sharing the message of reconciliation and what works, honestly. So when it comes to sharing it, the first thing is to listen. Listen to people. Listen to your friends. Listen to your family members. Listening allows us to get to know them. Now, I don't know about you, when I'm passionate about something, like if someone used a trigger word, like they just mentioned surfing, and I'm like, oh, and then I just start talking about surfing, and I'm like, in front of them, I'm just like talking about it, I get passionate, and I start talking about surfing for like 5-10 minutes before I know it. I've been talking for quite some time, and they're just kind of staring at me, right? I get so passionate, I get so built up, I step back and I go, oh my goodness, I let my passion overshadow the person. I let my passion overshadow them to the point that I'm no longer talking with them in conversation, I'm just talking at them. You notice that? We get passionate. It happens, doesn't it? When we become passionate, we can often let our passion overshadow people. And that happens often in our relationship with God, as we begin to share that message of reconciliation, because we get so passionate. And yeah, it comes from an honest heart, but we have to recognize something, that this is a conversation happening, that it is important to listen to people, to not just blurt out all that we know in front of people, but to talk with them. And so to initiate the conversation, we start by listening. What's going on in their life? Who are they? And as we begin to listen, we'll begin to understand and know more of what they're like and what's going on in their life and be able to speak into that and be able to communicate to them and talk with them about things. And you'll notice that when you are listening, you'll notice that when you are having a conversation with someone and you are intently listening to them, that God begins to communicate things to you. And we know what it's like when someone is talking at us and not with us, right? We know what that's like. We know as they keep talking in our head, we're like, when are they going to be done? Right? Let's be honest. When is that conversation? Like, because we're not even having a conversation here. They're just blurting things at us. We don't like that when it happens to us. And I would say, let's not do that to others. But let's just take a step back and recognize that we don't say people. God does. And what he's saying, I want to invite you into this relationship because he's doing something with them. And so rather than kind of stepping up and blocking that, let's partner with him so that when we're having conversations and we're listening to their story, actually listening to the people and what's going on in their lives, God begins to communicate. And many of us, we know what that's like, right? Where you're actually listening, and then God starts saying things, and then like all of a sudden you're like, got this word or this phrase, and you say it. And then their response is like, you've been watching me? Or their response is like, I so needed to hear that. Why? Because God was speaking to us through us to them. And so it's important for us to not just listen to them, but at the same time also to listen to what God is up to. So in conversation, it's God, what are you doing here? Think beneath what's going on, because what happens, there's all this surface stuff, but really what's really going on, it's the question behind the question. There's something going on in that person's life. It's asking God, I'm going to think beneath here. What is going on in that person's life? What's happening there? They're angry, but the reason they're angry stems from somewhere. It's rooted in something. God, can you show me a vision? Give me some clarity. How can I communicate to that? What's going on in that person's life? As we're thinking and listening to them, we're also listening to God and we're thinking beneath. What's really going on here? What's really happening? And it's also important to think vision. in every conversation that we're having, there's vision in place. In every conversation that we have, it's going somewhere. Some conversations are for us to get people to do things. And so we have that conversation. That's our vision. I'm going to get you to do something. Some of our conversations are for us. We just want to get out of it. And so that's our vision. It's just, how do I get out of this conversation as quickly and as soon as possible? And so we'll say things like, okay, or all right. And that's our vision in the conversation. It's just to get out, right? Or get someone to do something. There's always vision going on. And guess what? God has vision for the conversations that take place as well. He is doing something. And so it's important for us to ask ourselves and to ask God, say, okay, God, not only what's going on here, but where are you going? What are you doing? What's happening here in this conversation? Because I want to partner with you. Communication is like a dance. And for most of us, we don't know how to dance very well. We're trying to figure out how to communicate. A lot of the times when we really think about why we communicate, what we're communicating, is because we have some prejudgments. Have you ever noticed that? When you come into a conversation, you have prejudgments and you leave the conversation going like, wow, I was way off. There's a lot of these things that show up in conversations. And so it's important for us to take a step back as we share the message of reconciliation, to listen to the person that's in front of us, intently listen to them, and also to listen to God, because he is directing, he is doing something. It's saying, God, I want to begin to dance in that rhythm of communication that you're doing. I want you to lead the dance, so to speak. And so I'm entrusting you. What are you doing here? What should I say? What should I do? Where are you leading? And he will begin to communicate to you in that way. Watch for it. And it will happen. This is about relationship building. This is about building relationships with one another and saying, God, you're in control and you're doing something here. So when it comes to the message of reconciliation, pause, listen intently. Listen to each other, listen to the person in front of you, and also listen to God. And if you're not really good at conversations, kind of like me, and you're like, you know what, I'll try my best. At the end of the day, just default, love people. At the end of the day, when in doubt, you're like, you know what, Sean, I'm really awkward in conversations. It's just not going to work out for me right now. I'm going to work on it, but I just can't do it. When in doubt, love people. No matter what, if we truly love people, then God's love is going to shine through that. And how do we love people? Simple. With our words and with actions. Our words are very, very powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says this. Yep, no words. Doesn't say anything at all. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. There we go. The tongue can bring what? Death. We know what that's like. We know what it's like for someone to speak death over us, to someone to speak negatively about us, for someone to speak and break us down and tear us apart. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Bogus. And we know it. It is a lot easier to fix a broken bone. It is a lot easier to fix a broken bone. It is hard to fix hurtful words, as it's like a broken record that spins around in our head, and it comes in seasons or in waves, and it just keeps coming back and back again, and it can last all the way back from our childhood, as negative words can break us down. In the same light, our words can empower and build people up like never before. As God begins to speak through us, oh my goodness, the joy and the beauty that can come from speaking life into people. It's phenomenal. So in 2017, when you think of something good about someone, say it. Say it. If you think about something good about someone, just say it. So powerful. I have letters from my family members and friends and messages that I have kept that people have written and taken the time of saying how much they love me. And so sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I open that up and go, oh, somebody loves me. Woo! And I know that was like 10 years ago. Maybe we have some reconciliation that needs to take place, but at least 10 years ago, someone loved me. Come on now. That's good. You know, but it's just a reminder that, man, I need to hear that. I need to hear that. People need to hear that. We live in a world that defaults talking trash on people. It defaults that. That in order for us to make a right judgment about a restaurant, we look at what? The critique on it. The criticism. And we can take that kind of idea into relationships. My thing is, in 2017, rather than critiquing people, rather than breaking them down, let's build them up. So I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to think of five people. Think of five people. I don't know who they are. Just ask God. God, who are the five people that I can encourage, that I can love? And I want you to write a letter, and I want you to tell them why you love them. Not just, I love you, but I love you because this. Now, why a letter? Because we don't really do that anymore. And I don't know about you, but when I get a letter and I open it up and I look at it and it's a letter written to me and I open it up and someone has written me something that they love about me, I get so excited about that. Has that ever happened to you? No, it doesn't happen to me either. Nobody does that. Are you kidding me? But how cool would it be if the person that you're writing to comes on a Monday morning or Tuesday, opens up the mailbox. Oh, Discover wants more money. Okay, great. Oh, I got another bill. Okay, great. What is this one? It's not Christmas. Open up the letter, and it's just a letter expressing how much you love them. And it doesn't say donate here at the bottom of it. No strings attached. Just that I love you. And here's why. How powerful that would be. Now, if you don't like writing letters, then send out a text message. Honestly, just do it. Something. You can even do it right now. For those of you on your phones right now, I see it. It's okay. I get it. It's cool. I understand. I get it. It's cool, man. Just send out a text to someone that you love. If you're not going to write a letter, if you're like, that's never going to happen, then send out a text. But I encourage you to write a letter. Think of five people and say, God, give me the words to say here. Begin to think things that are good and watch what happens in your own heart as you begin to do that. Oh my goodness, it is so cool. It's exhilarating as we begin to express love for people rather than breaking them down. The power our words can have and the simplicity of it. When you think of something good about someone, say it, write it, type it, whatever, send it out. And watch as the message of reconciliation begins to take form and birth, become beautiful, versus just holding something up. Another way that we love people is through our actions. And I'm very simple in my thinking. When I think of something special for someone, I'm just going to do it. 2017, I think of something special, I'm going to make it happen. Whatever it may be. I don't know what it looks like for you. I honestly don't know what it looks like for me, but I'm going to begin to ask God, okay, God, I want to love people with my actions. What does that look like? Granted, I'm going to have to make time for it if it does show up, because that's how all things work. We have to make time for it. You're going to have to make time to write letters to five people. You're also going to have to make time to do something special for someone to show that you love them. And sometimes it's as simple as just giving our time. That alone is special. When my wife and I, when we were dating, and we're always dating, but when we weren't married, when I first started hanging out with her, she was always very intentional of carving out time for people that she felt God was, you know, telling her to hang out with. And so she's like, Sean, I really want to show you some of my friends. Whoa, that scared me. I really want to show you some of my friends. And I'm like, okay. And so we went to the park, and we met three of her friends that are homeless: Sal, Mark in the park, and David. And I'm like, wait, you're 19. And she's like, yeah. And you're hanging out with three homeless dudes? Yeah. That's not smart. That's not smart. Why are you doing that? She's like, just watch. Come here. Now, again, just side note, if you're 19 years old, I am not saying to go hang out with three homeless guys in a park. This is our story, not your story. So don't take your story and make it my story. You know, don't do that. Just listen to this. This was so cool. We get to the park and we're hanging out. And we begin to just share about life. And every week, we'd show up and hang out with Sal, Mark, and David in the park. We talk about God. We talk about how they got there. We talk about where they're going. And even in moments where we're just lying on the grass and laughing about whatever, and they're like, hey, Sean, would you like a banana? Or you like some grapes? And I'm like, sure. And there's homeless people giving me food. I'm like, dang, this is humbling. But it was beautiful. It was beautiful because I began to realize, as I was talking with them, that they didn't need stuff. They didn't need stuff. They had stuff. What they needed was a friend. What they needed was someone to give them the time of day, to hang out with them, to really just get to know them. And that's what we did. for about 6 years, we continued to hang out with them and hang out with them all the time. And they became like really close friends to where we'd be driving and Sal would be on his bike and I'd be like, Sal, what's up? And he's like, yeah. With this like trailer of stuff. It was so cool. Oh my goodness. I love him. He's just like the coolest guy ever. It was so cool. And it was like one of those moments, like if we didn't carve out this time to hang out with him, to give him the time of day, we wouldn't have been able to encounter this radical loving relationship, as not only did we feel loved in return, but they felt loved too, because we just took the time to be with them. No strings attached, just to hang out. When I proposed to my wife and we were doing wedding planning stuff, which is really horrible because you have to like create a list of people that are in and not in. And so you're like, what about them? Out. In. No, out. Yeah, out. It's just like, oh, I want to bring everyone. I want to invite everyone. And my wife is, she's sitting there and she's like, oh, what if we invited Sal, Mark, and David to the wedding? And I'm like, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. And so we show up to the park and we're like, hey guys, what's up? And they're like, hey, how you guys doing? We're doing good. Hey, we have this something for you. And we handed them our wedding invitations. And we said, we want you to come to our wedding. And their jaws dropped. They're like, really? We're like, yeah. Do you want to go? And they're like, absolutely. How are we going to get there? I'm like, don't worry. I've got it all covered. I got my friend. He's going to come pick you up. So just be ready. Just be at the park. Hang out at the park. He'll show up. His name is Chad. He'll pick you up. It'll all work out. And my which happened to be my future brother-in-law, he drove up, picked him up, put him in the car. And he was telling me that when he was driving there, they're like, you know, you can just kind of like leave us there. You don't have to take us back. We'll just sleep in the bushes and make our way back. He's like, no, I'm going to take you back. It's not a problem. They're like, okay. Right? So we're at the wedding, and I'm there, and all of a sudden, I see my brother-in-law park his car, and out comes Sal, Mark, and David. And the best possible way that they could look, which was so cute, they get out of the car, and they stand there, and some of my friends already know them, too, because we hang out with them. And someone's like, Sal, Mark, David, and they're like, hey! It was like their wedding day almost. They were so stoked, right? And I stood there and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so cool. Because for the first time in a long time, they didn't just feel like friends, but they felt like family. Like family. The wonders that can happen when we carve out time to just be with people and you get to watch what God does. As people get to encounter his message of reconciliation, as he brings different people together in him, it's beautiful. And you want to know something? Still to this day, Kelsey and I will go to the park and we'll hang out with him. And you want to know what we talk about? Hey, Sean, yeah? Remember that time you invited us to your wedding? Yeah? So cool. I know. And he's like, hey, check this out. And he pulls out of his pocket the wedding invite, in his pocket. It's so powerful what we can do. It's so powerful what we can do with our words as we build them up. It's so powerful what we can do of just thinking about something special and doing it for somebody. It's so much more powerful than just standing on the sidelines and holding something up. When we get in the game and we begin to listen to people and listen to God and love them with our words and our actions. That is so powerful. And don't forget this. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't what? Love others. I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. How many of you would love to hear a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal as you're going to bed? No, you would hate it. It would suck. Why? Because it's just noise. That's what he's saying here. If I didn't have love in what I'm doing, it would just be noise. Verse 2, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, if I was like Billy Graham on steroids, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained what? Nothing. God has given us a beautiful gift. He has reconciled us back into relationship with him. And now he has commissioned us to go out and to live out the message of reconciliation, to love others as God has loved us. So may we listen to them and to him. And may we take the time to speak life into people and to tangibly love them. And watch as we see Jesus' message of reconciliation coming to life right before our very eyes. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you don't hold our sin against us. You have completely taken it out. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for reconciling us back to you, that we are made new in relationship with you. And there's some of us here who don't have a relationship with you. God, may they know that there's not some secret formula, there's not some ritual that they have to do, that all they need to do is just say, God, I want you, and it's there, and you're there. And you're there to bring them back into relationship with you. And God, as that message of reconciliation affects us in our hearts, when we recognize the radical love that you have extended to us, may we be ones who can extend that message of reconciliation out to those who we know, to our children, to our spouses, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors. May we be ones who are willing to listen to them and you and what you're doing. And ultimately, may we love with our words and our actions. Guide us, lead us. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. And may 2017, may we see more and more people come to know you, Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for our relationship with you, and we love you. In your name, we all said, Amen. Amen.